That's right. The Drive is live. Again, we are live here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're even nice to welcome in Rangers fans and Cowboys fans. We even talked to those guys before. No, stop it, Tyler. Stop it. Be nice, okay?
He took his time
to come out.
Hey, I'll go ahead and you can go ahead and put old Knoblock on your turd list, because I'm gonna tell you he's a Hog fan too, baby. So I know Tyler, you ain't getting down.
Yeah, he is. But everybody's welcome. Come on out and have a good time with us here. We are off Tomball Parkway near Willowbrook Mall. We're in the Willowbrook Plaza, so come hang out. And enjoy yourself. You can't miss us when you walk in the door. And it's a good time here. And Clint, you know we don't ever come empty-handed. Shout out to the good people at Buffalo Wild Wings, but also to the good people at Bud Light, who generally help us. The Bud Light girls will be out here a bit later on. Clint, I think we got about seven things we hooking people up with. All right? We're going to hook people up. We got three different $25, six things, check that, six things. We got three different $25 Visa gift cards. Not three, two. They're telling me right now, two? We got two because you told me three earlier. We got two different Visa gift cards. I'm going to put you right out there. We got two different $25 Visa gift cards, and we have tickets to U of H against K-State, tickets of U of H against Houston. I'm sorry, that is Houston. U of H against Utah. So K-State and Utah tickets to see U of H as they will host those two teams. And we're going to hook you up with a nice little Bud Light drinking game that you can win as well. And then the big one in the 5 o'clock hour, Texans-Colts tickets, as we will hook you up with that as well. So a lot. Tickets to U of H, tickets to the Texans and the Colts next week, and $25 gift cards. So a lot that you can win. You got to be in the building. You got to be here to win it. All you got to do is come in, sign your name, put it in our raffle box that's right up front there, and you'll be eligible for a chance to win one of our six prizes.
We've also got Texans tight end Cade Stover coming up here pretty quick in the second segment, 2:15-ish T. So keep your head on a swivel over there. Stover, Texans tight end.
Cade Stover, and we'll make room for him. He'll join us coming up here soon, so stay tuned. Hang with us here on this wonderful Thursday. All right, speaking of Cade Stover, and we can talk to him about this here in a little bit, Clint, is, by the way, a little breaking news. This won't be a shocker. In the NBA, Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely with knee inflammation. Will he just quit? Just retire, man. This is just utterly ridiculous. It's always, the season hasn't even started yet. He missed the Olympics because of this knee, and now he's still out. So anyway, breaking news, he is out indefinitely. So I'm sure he'll be back in, what, June? We'll see what happens, maybe May or June with him. But we'll talk to Cade Stover about this too, Clint. There was an adjustment made with Cade Stover. He was a guy that was more in the game, especially during the run game, lined up in the backfield at times, where we saw Dalton Schultz, him and Tegan Quatoriano were in the game, and you saw some improvement with them as tight ends in the Texans' run game on Sunday against the Patriots. One of their best run days, all right? Both their runners averaged over nearly 8 yards a carry, both of them, both Pierce and Mixon. As Pierce went for 100 yards plus and had a long run, and then Damian Pierce had the long touchdown run as well. Are you buying it now? Are you buying with Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce a part of this run game? Are you buying that's actually the real Texans run game? That's closer to the real Texans run game than we've seen here the previous 4 weeks.
Look, I'm buying as long as everybody's healthy. I mean, the Patriots defense, I know the Patriots football team in general is not a very good football team. And I'll be honest, I think the defense is a good defense, but I think when it comes to, at this point, being a one-win team, there's probably a little bit of let go of the rope in this group. But the Patriots defense coming into the Texans game, they were top 10 in scoring defense. And the Texans offense, with the help of the turnovers, I get it, but with the Texans offense scored 41 points. The Patriots defense, again, they were top 6 in the NFL in yards allowed per carry. And as a group, the Texans went for 6'9", which is almost 7 yards a carry, and then Joe Mixon was at 7.8 per carry. Now, that's that big run in there, 60-some-odd yards, whatever it was.
I love Joe Mixon.
But that's how this thing works. And that was a hell of a performance by the offensive line. I thought they improved. I thought it was a hell of a performance by Bobby Slowick.
As you said, they adjusted, right? They were more – it seems like they were more running in between their big three.
There was a lot.
There was
a lot more G scheme type stuff where you're pulling guards, you're pulling tight ends, and they're kicking guys out instead of that floating, dancing, stretching to the sideline and hoping you hit a seam. There was a lot more downhill right now, G scheme type stuff, double teams. That there was just it was a shift in. I think what's the most talked about, I don't want to sit here and paint this picture, to be completely honest with you, like the Texans haven't done some of this stuff leading up to the Patriots game. They had done some of it. Just the conversation around the Shanahan offense and the Kubiak offense back in the day and what people think Bobby Slowick and what this offense should look like, I think there's some buzzwords, and one of them is outside zone, outside zone, outside zone, which is something that they would like to do. But they have done it all, and it seems like Sunday versus the Patriots, they settled in and maybe just accepted, hey, we're going to be a little bit more downhill and a little bit more G-scheme-oriented than what the conversations are around this football team. And so to answer the question, yes, I'm buying because of several reasons. This isn't just a gut feeling. Joe Mixon is back. He's a difference maker. Damian Pierce is back. He's better than what you had running at number two, just generally speaking. Then you get to thinking about the adjustments that Bobby made in terms of downhill G-scheme type runs. Again, Joe can do it all. Damian Pierce, that's his bread and butter. The adjustment with getting Schultz out of the way and letting some other guys do work inside that are better suited to do that inside work, I think was a big plus. And so, yeah, I'm buying because of what all went into it and the fact that I think there was something the Patriots could hang their hat on defensively coming into this game, and it was run defense. And it was keeping teams out of the end zone, and the Texans had a field day Sunday doing both. So, yeah, I'm buying it, man. I'm in. I'm buying. Now, we'll see what happens against the best defenses in the league, like teams that are actually winning and are playing for something and are preparing and hoping for a Super Bowl. We'll see what happens there. But for right now, yeah, I'm buying it.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, are you buying that the Texans' run game is closer to what it was on Sunday against the Patriots, or more what we've seen prior? To me, I'm not 100% bought in. I want to see some more performances with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, but clearly those guys make it different. They're different. It's just we've only seen it really twice. And we saw a little bit of the first half of the Bears game, and they struggled even before the injury to Mixon in that game. So I want to see a little bit more, but clearly they are a different running team and a different rushing offense when those two guys, especially Mixon, is involved.
Well, to me, look, what I really like about it too, Ron, is that there's a level of physicality there with both of the backs that we've talked about, Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon. And if you play to the strengths of your interior offensive line with this group for damn sure, but with most teams, you're playing a more physical brand of football if you're catering your offense to your interior offensive line and two physical backs, right? And then all of a sudden you add Cade Stover and even Kendrick Green to the backfield. Now we're introducing some physicality to the Texans that just isn't there if you're trying to run that outside zone and you're banking on Brevin Jordan and Dalton Schultz to be the guys on the edge and all that job. It's just an entire different mindset that I think that the Texans are at least Sunday, it's their approach was totally different.
And also to the point you made yesterday, I also want to see if that was we saw something on film, that's the best way to attack the Patriots, or is this going to be a thing of, hey, we're going to be more of a team that runs it down here, we're going to really run it around those guys, or was this just a, hey, we see they're better on the edge, it's going to be more difficult for us to get on the edge, and they're soft on the inside. That's the other part. I want to see if they continue to use that strategy against the Packers, against the Colts, against everybody else.
Well, and that's, look, that's just one thing that, you know, I didn't agree with how Bill O'Brien at least talked the game, and I don't agree with the way that Bobby Slowick talks the game from that perspective either. I just, at some point, you've got to impose your will on people. Like you, and the Texans don't have the flexibility or the range of offensive linemen to go, well, this week we're just going to do this because we feel like it's the best way to attack the defense. Like, you don't have the ability at the tackle position or the tight end position to bring that level of physicality to the field. And so letting the defense, just generally speaking, philosophically, in theory, letting the defense dictate what you do, I think is silly to that degree. Like, at some point, like with Baltimore, and I know this is an extreme because it's the best run team in the game, but, like, I don't think Baltimore watches tape on people and goes, yeah, man, this week we're just going to toss zone this thing. We're going to out heavy outside zone this week. You know,
yeah, they're going to do what they do.
You got Derrick Henry. You're going to get him downhill. You're going to move him downhill right now. It's going to be, even if you're going to run outside zone, you're going to run outside zone off the tackle. You're not going to toss it. I mean, and if you do, it's going to be because you feel like you've got, like right now, we got to do it right now. You're not going to adjust your entire identity because the defense gives you a chance, gives you an opportunity. I don't like that approach to offensive football, in my opinion. So I don't, and to be honest with you, I don't know how much I buy into it.
Well, let's talk to Cade Stover and see his thoughts. What changed? They had struggled leading up. Was it just Joe Mixon? Was it more than that? We'll talk to the Texans rookie tight end right here live on the drive as we continue on the road. Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, near Willowbrook Mall. Come out, hang with us. Got prizes to win. We'll hear from the tight end, Cade Stover, coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, that's right. It is a Thirsty Thursday. If you're in the building, put your name in our raffle box. You'll have a chance to win tickets to the Colts and the Texans game, tickets to U of H and K-State, tickets to U of H and Utah. Also, we are giving up two different $25 Visa gift cards as well as a Bud Light game, all courtesy of Bud Light. All you got to do is sign your name. We've got things over there where you can sign your name, put it in the raffle box, and you'll have your chance to win one of our six prizes today. So you don't have to put your Social Security card down. You don't have to put your address, sign your name. You'll have a chance to win. So that's what's going on here today as we are live here in Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, right off Tomball Plaza, or Parkway, excuse me, Tomball Parkway, very, very near Willowbrook Mall. So come hang out with us till 6 o'clock. To hear from Cade Stover, the rookie tight end, coming up here in just a minute. Hey, Clint and Tyler, I know you all know this as well as others. Maybe the game of the year in college football. I know we've had some one versus twos. I know last week we had two versus three. But this Texas-Georgia game feels like it is going to be kind of looked at as the game of the year to start right now. And I'm asking you, Clint, I know you follow this. Tyler, you just can't be objective.
guilty.
Although you may be able to do it here after you take it, to me, I've learned when Tyler gets the first stuff out, the hatred stuff out, then he can become a little bit more objective. But do the Longhorns, do they have the quarterback advantage in this game?
Oh, I would say so.
You think so? Because, see, Carson Beck coming into the year was the guy that I think a lot of people looked at as, like, he may be a first-round pick. He may be the number one pick. He may be – like, thought he was the potentially the best pro prospect coming out of the college football season going into the draft next year. I don't think that is the case the way he has started this year. Quinn has missed a couple of games, had a little slow start against Oklahoma, but picking it up a bit in the second half. But you think Texas has the quarterback advantage, and you trust Quinn more than you trust Beck?
Yeah, I do. I trust Quinn more than I trust Beck. I mean, I just think Quinn – first of all, he's got the resume advantage. If you just look at the small sample size of this year, I mean, he played his best football, maybe the best football that we've ever seen him play against Michigan in Michigan. Now you look at it because Michigan isn't the team that everybody thought they were with Harbaugh gone and all the pieces that they
now,
lost.
That defense is still good, though.
Yeah, the Michigan. Defense is really good. And at the time, the defense is really good, and that stadium's a tough place to play. And he went down there and played his best ball. You know, you look at Beck, I didn't fine tooth comb the Georgia Alabama game, but he had three interceptions in that game.
And he came on in late third quarter, fourth quarter,
and his team ended up losing. So, with the exception of that, there's not a whole lot on Michigan's. I mean, on Georgia's schedule that really turns you on. In my opinion, you know, they won right out of the gate against Clemson. That ended up just being a shellacking by the time the game was over.
Yeah, but not a lot with him though. You know, it didn't seem
good completion percentage, good yardage, but it wasn't like watching that game. You didn't go, that's Heisman. That's number one overall draft pick. That's the best quarterback in the country. You just didn't watch it. And I'll be honest with you.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
I've never Carson Beck to me is tangibly a really good player, obviously. And has all the measurables, and he's going to turn all the scouts on. He's going to drill well. He's going to combine well. But there's, you know, we're at a point in college football where that guy, most quarterbacks are crowned before they ever do anything if they're built the right way. He's one of those guys that was crowned way too early. The fact that he felt the need to announce his return to the Georgia Bulldogs program last year, to announce that he wasn't going to go in the draft, he was coming back to Georgia, that was one that I laughed at. I'll be honest with you. I completely laughed at it. Not that he couldn't have got drafted, but that was a healthy quarterback draft. And here this guy has a very small sample size, and he's going to announce he's not. He was coming back all the time, the entire time. And I like Carson Beck's ability. I like his high ceiling. But right now, Quinn Ewers is the better quarterback. He's got the better resume. He's got the most impressive, like most recent game versus Michigan. So. I like Quinn Ewers, and I'll be honest with you. For me personally, I don't even think it's close.
Really?
Yeah.
The best way that I can describe it, Clint, is I think that Beck is more physically talented than Quinn.
No question.
But to me, it just seems like the difference between the two, you just watch him play. As you said, Beck will drill well. If you get him out there, he'll drill well. But I don't know if he's just fluent.
He just hadn't had that moment yet. Yeah. He hadn't had that taking ownership in the game and owning that offense. I don't think he has. Now, I'm sure some folks from Georgia will tell you different, but I have not seen that from him yet, and I have seen that from Quinn Ewers. Now, we're talking about two of the best quarterbacks in college football, so all my sensitive folks out there, relax a little bit. I just would prefer Quinn Ewers over Carson Beck.
Yeah, in this thing. All right, big game in Austin, and also a big game in Green Bay and Lambeau, and let's bring in Cade Stover, rookie tight end, who is making his way, man. You could see him getting better and better each and every week. First off, man, Cade, we appreciate you joining us and taking some time out.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
All right, Cade, I'm curious from you. We saw some real improvements in the run game in this game against the Patriots as Mixon got loose and Damian Pierce returned and got loose, and you were involved in that. We saw you being kind of moved around in that. From your perspective, what did you see as kind of the difference in the run game this week and what you guys did compared to the previous week where it didn't seem as smooth?
I felt like everybody was confident in what they were doing for the most part. And just getting downhill and playing fast, that's really what we're trying to pride ourselves on.
Well, Cade, what about you personally, man? I don't think the physical side of the game has ever been or ever will be a problem for you. But being relatively new to the tight end position, especially at the NFL level, man, just like with your game right now, how confident are you? Where do you feel like you're really picking things up? Where do you feel like you have to keep drilling to make sure you stay on top of it?
I think there's always going to be something to keep drilling. I mean, every aspect of things, especially as new to the position as I am. But, I mean, the game's starting to slow down for me here a little bit. I'm starting to see things better and just be more confident in what I'm doing.
Hey, isn't it crazy, Cade? I was a quarterback when I played. It was like a flip of a switch. When the game slowed down for me, it literally was one day at practice. We were in a combined – or what do you call it – practice, joint practice. Hell, I think it was with the Texans back when you were about 4 years old. And and Kate, it was like I remember I took a snap. I was getting some run with the ones instead of the threes as a third string quarterback. And I remember it was like, damn, this is what it feels like playing with starters. This is the game just slowed down for me in literally the flip of a switch. Did that happen for you at any point in time, or has it been a slow, gradual move?
It's been a slow early on in the season. I was playing a lot of fullback and like back in the backfield. And then when Brevin went down, that's kind of when things sped up for me a little bit, going back on the line. I was kind of getting used to having a little bit of space to figure yourself out before you made contact as opposed to being up on it. But I think the Jacksonville game is kind of the game that, like, things I felt like, okay, like, you're back to who you are and you're back to things are slowed down. You're seeing things a little bit better.
Kate Stover joins us here as the Texans get prepared to play the Packers here in Lambeau. And listen, you guys are off to a great start, 5-1 start. And for you, as you said, you've been able to pick things up. For you, what's for you the next step here? As you said, the Jacksonville game, you started to pick things up and things have kind of slowed down a bit. What's the next step in your game personally as you guys continue the rest of the season?
I'm just trying to play as fast as I can in every situation I'm in and just do, whatever they ask of me. I'm not really, as a rookie, you're not really in the spot to be like, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. So, I'm just doing whatever's asked of me, whatever we can do to help this team win and keep winning ball games. So, whether that's in the pass game, whether that's in the run game, whatever it is.
Kate, well, in your mindset, just again digging into your game and your approach, man, how much of your mindset is let me get my hands on whoever I'm responsible for and I'm gonna arrive violently and do damage from a physicality standpoint? How much of that do you focus on?
100%, especially like in my role. In this offense right now is really you're the enforcer. I'm doing a lot of moving around, a lot of motion, a lot of stuff like that. So, if you can come with a little bit of lead in your pencil, that's always good, and always could set the tone that way.
I can get down with that. I appreciate that. What is let's talk about Green Bay a little bit, man. What does that look like so far? I know obviously you can't give away the secret sauce, but how do you feel about Green Bay? How do you guys matching up? What's the work looking like this week after two heavy days?
Yeah, that's a tough physical football team there. Good, well coached. We're definitely gonna we have to be on all of it today. Gonna be on all the P's and Q's this week and make sure everybody's on the same page and rolling off the ball here to be able to do what we want to do here. So just like I said, it's always about the pad level and running off the ball. That's what it starts with.
Hey, I'm curious, Cade, because you played with CJ before at Ohio State, so you saw him there and you've seen him here. How is he different, if he is at all, as a pro now with the Texans than he was in college?
In my mind, CJ was a pro in college. That's the luxury of being able to go to Ohio State. That's a big part of it for both of us. They treat you like a pro. They expect you to take care of your business, and if you do, you reap the benefits of it. So to see him continuously grow in his knowledge in the game and just his leadership aspects and stuff, he's an unbelievable person, unbelievable player, too, along top of that.
All right. Cade, man, we appreciate you stopping by and taking some time out. I know you guys are really focusing on the game on Sunday, and we appreciate you joining us, and good luck in Green Bay.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Cade Stover. Said yes, sir, to me again, man. I just don't.
You're getting old, man. You're 40, bro.
We are getting older, man.
I don't feel.
Hey, Tyler, ain't nobody ask you? Hey, you're getting old, Ron.
I don't feel it, man.
Y'all are getting wisdom.
Yes, sir, man. I feel like me and him can, like, we can still go play like beer pong together, man. We can still go hit flip cup together. Now, don't shake me off. We can. Damn it, and I don't. I'm pretty confident I'll whoop Cade's ass. But I feel like we'd be a good team. I just need to go last. We ain't got to call me sir. Dang, how old is Cade? You said 4. Cade's got, what, he's got to be about 23, 24? I guess I am.
Yeah, I bet he was born in 2000. 99 or 2000, somewhere in there. Oh, he is 24, huh, T?
24. Good.
June 12th, 2000.
There you go, man.
That makes me even feel a little old.
Listen, what you heard him. You heard him talk about that lead in the ass. You heard him talk about kind of the physical.
He literally was four back in that day.
He was.
When the game slowed down for me, literally.
He slowed down. He was four, yep.
I'll be damned. What a guess.
I was pretty young, too.
You're 40.
What year was that?
That would have been 04, 03, 04.
Oh, okay. I was a teenager.
Yeah, so was my wife.
I was in college. But no, I mean, you can hear, like, hell, man, what he's focused on, man, let me do what they're telling me to do and let me go and hit somebody.
Yeah.
Let me get physical. And, like, he's somebody where, obviously, the game is – he's learning the game and he may not know everything that he's supposed to be doing or he may go the wrong way or he may do something.
Yeah.
But it does sound like he is a guy that and by what we've seen, that he's just – he's going to hit something. He's going to get physical and something.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I really like – he's obviously developmental any way you slice it because he hadn't played the tight end position long enough to not be developmental. Now, he is playing it at the fact that he's getting starting reps and running with the ones on an NFL team as short a time as he has played the position is wild to think. And it just makes makes me go to a place of, boy, how good can this guy be? The good thing is how complimentary he actually is to Dalton Schultz. You know, down the road, I think didn't Dalton sign a 3-year deal? Wasn't it 3-year 36 or 3-year 34 or something like that? So I mean, you've got a 1-2 punch at the tight end position right there, and the 2 and 3 punch being cheaper with Brevin Jordan. I like the 1-2 punch with Cade and Dalton more so than Dalton and Brevin, simply because of the physicality, the hand in the dirt, the different kind
Dalton
of tight end.
Dalton and Brevin are similar,
somewhat similar. Yeah, I mean, there's a place on this football team for a tight end. Regardless where you line him up, whether you motion him, whether you move him, whether you put him in a fullback spot or the tight end spot, or I don't care how the wing spot, I don't care where you put him, there's a place for a tight end that's like I'm bringing physicality to the table first and foremost. And then you look at what they're getting out of Dalton Schultz right now, it's not crazy to think that right now you could get that out of Cade Stover. Now, I know the experience, the veteran, the leadership, whatever CJ talked about it yesterday, however you want to couch the veteran aspect of Dalton Schultz, you're not going to get that from Cade Stover. But from a production standpoint, I mean, what we're getting right now to Dalton Schultz, you can damn sure expect to get out of Cade Stover right now.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue live here from Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook Plaza near Willowbrook Mall. Come out. We're here till 6 o'clock. Did we learn something in the game against the Patriots that could tell us about the future with this Texans defense? And the future could be as near as Sunday. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
According to the text line, fellas, it looks like we may have a situation on our hands. Did Cade Stover drop the F-bomb? Is that because that is coming across on the text line?
I thought he did. That's why you didn't see when I looked at you.
Is that what that was? I didn't catch it. Someone said, "Of course, Cade would drop an F bomb." Shout out to the former Grunk.
I didn't think I heard that. Oh,
former
I was
Grunk.
Listening.
I missed it.
It was random in the middle of that comment. It was in the middle of an
so
answer.
You heard him. You heard.
I heard what I thought was an F word. Yes, and I thought to myself, "Boy, that was placed in an odd spot."
Well, if that's the case, boys, this may be my last edition of The Drive here.
that'd be a tough day, man.
Wow, I was gonna say I didn't hear it.
I heard what I thought could have been one. It wasn't very clear.
Then you need to your move needs to be to practice. The dump button.
I don't have one here.
I know you don't have one, but you still practice it. If I hear it, I do it. I hit it. I don't. Sometimes.
Clint has been in here plenty of times and not hit that dump button.
Sometimes Tyler, I will
I
be.
I big eyed. I googly eyed Ron like, and Ron just looked at me and kept talking.
I missed it. I'm telling you, Tyler. Sometimes I'm by myself or not even in a studio, and I hear something, and I I'll hit a make-believe dumb.
I think it was when, Tyler. I think it was a question when I asked him about the physicality, like arriving violently. I think about his third or fourth word in, he kind of mumbled, and it sounded like it.
Well, I must have missed it too then, if it did happen, because with these players, I tend to make it a habit to listen pretty close because I know they can be a little foul mouthed. But I missed that.
We got multiple people who have thrown a red flag here on the text line, and they've said they've gone back for instant replay. And someone said, I rewound it on the Odyssey app. That's a feature on the Odyssey app, guys. You can go ahead and rewind right now.
And someone's even if we dump something and you're listening on the app, you'll still get to hear it.
And as someone said, definitely he did. Missed it.
Damn.
It was out of place, so that's what made me.
So it was an out-of-place F-bomb.
All right, stop talking about it then, because I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, Tyler, I just did. No, I just did.
I don't think you are.
I'm several months late that I had, and I was up late last night. I did about 2 hours worth of training videos last night, and one of them just so happened to be about what may or may not have just happened. And from an FCC perspective, my understanding is that if it is a something like that, and it doesn't like you're not like it's not happening all the time. And it's an isolated incident, which that would be an isolated incident for a caller on a player calling on our program. The FCC looks at it a little different, Tyler.
Well, for the sake of my job, I hope you're right.
I think we probably toe the line a little bit more when we start talking about stuff that happens in the sheets and stuff. You know, I think that's I got a little nervous.
That's just
when I was
good
doing
innocent fun, though.
Yeah, but in my training, I think that can be frowned upon. I'm just telling you. I think insinuating things and making noises and stuff can get us in trouble, I think.
I guess.
Yeah.
Kate Stover tried Jerry Jones's here, I guess. I'm going to get y'all asses all fired.
I'll be honest with you. It makes me like him even more.
I know
not getting Tyler fired, just the fact that he dropped an F-bomb.
Just clearly, because clearly it would be Tyler. All right.
He dropped an F-bomb in an answer talking about how physicality plays a big role in his game.
It should be.
That's my kind of guy.
Yeah. I completely missed it. But what you can't miss here, come on out to Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza near Willowbrook Mall. Come hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Plenty of prizes, including Texans-Colts tickets that you can win. All you got to do is put your name in that raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win one of our six different prizes today. All right. Drake May had an odd performance. There were some moments, Clint, where he looked like he was a rookie. And then there were some moments where it was like, hey, all right, maybe that's a little bit of what they saw. And he had him some moments at times in this game. And it was interesting the way that the Texans played him defensively, because I think that led to a lot of his moments, and it led to a lot of his, that's why maybe he wasn't ready to start there and start here. Did the play of the Patriots offense, especially the successes, did that cause you to have any thoughts about potentially how the Texans' defense moves on forward after this against the Packers, against the Lions, against the Ravens and the teams they have coming down the rest of the way?
Well, for me, we've heard D'Amico, we've heard Bobby, we've heard Nick, we've heard people around the NFL talk about, you know, it takes you several weeks to figure out what your identity is. And I'm just connecting all these dots with the Texans' defense, right? If you look at the amount that they've pressured this year, they've become a pressure defense all of a sudden. Now, look, just to be clear, I understand a lot of those pressures they're getting with a four-down lineman. They're getting with Will. They're getting with Daniil. They're getting with a four-man pass rush. So I know it's not always closing the middle of the field and playing man, but a lot of times they are playing man defense and bringing pressure. And we're at a point now, six games into the season, where I got to ask is, are they, because late in that game, everything said, young quarterback, big lead, everything said, back off, bend, don't break, make them go 15 plays and score a touchdown, and, you know, let's get the hell out, let's get on this plane happy with a victory and go back to Houston, right? He stayed aggressive with a backup corner in the game, with Eric Murray, with Jalen Petrie, with, some guys that.
Jimmy Ward hurt.
So, it made me question, just pose the question, is does this defense have to play a lot of man coverage and pressure all the time or a lot of the time, or is that by choice? Like, is D'Amico Ryan saying?
Clint, their personnel doesn't say that they have to, does it? Their personnel doesn't say. I mean, when you got Will Anderson and you've got Danielle Hunter.
Well, I think everybody, I'll be honest with you, I think everybody's subpar other than the two big ends.
I don't know, man. Mario Edwards Jr. was
well. Now
was
he's
playing
no.
Well,
yeah, no,
you know
I agree. No, that, now that's now. There's guys that have played better. I agree. Yes, but I mean, just that, the writing on the wall is yes. You've got Will Anderson and you've got Danielle Hunter, but we're not going to be rewriting record books with Mario Edwards and Tim Settle and all these guys inside. And I'll be honest with you, when you look at the linebacker play, it's been tremendous overall, and it's been tremendous versus the run, but. Toa Toa and Azeez Al-Shaair are subpar. They're below average when it comes to rushing the passer from that position. They're not. There's nothing dynamic about either one of those guys in a pass rushing standpoint, right? And Jalen Petrie coming off the edge with those instincts, he has not been a big factor in the pressure game this year. And so I don't know. I just wonder is. That's the first question. Do they have to pressure, or is that just something that D'Amico feels like they do well, so they're picking and choosing when to do it? When I saw him do it late last week against the Patriots, I felt like, well, that's just what he's most comfortable with. That's what he feels like he can get off the field with, is pressuring this young quarterback. Because everything said back off and make him at the very least chew clock to get points, and he didn't do that. And so that question – then leads me to whether they're doing it by choice or they're doing it because
they're doing it.
They're having to do it from a scheme standpoint to be able to stop the run, to rush the pass, so they're having to add extra hats to the box, so they're having to play man behind it. Are the Texans' DBs good enough to keep doing this moving forward? And this is the week to ask the question because you're staring down the barrel of Green Bay. Is the Texans' defensive backs, minus Kamari Lassiter, by the way, are they good enough to continue to show teams man coverage, show Jordan Love, Jared Goff? You know, down the road, you got Aaron Rodgers with now Davante Adams. You know, you got Pat coming down there. You got Dak. You got all these guys that are very comfortable.
Maybe Tua.
Yeah, I mean, you got. Is this team, are these DBs right now, are they good enough to play that style of defense versus better quarterback
play? Not consistently against those guys. I don't think consistently.
Oh, I agree.
Listen, you've been a quarterback, and you talk to these guys like Mahomes wants to be blitzed.
Well, you just make it
awful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you make it really easy for the quarterback if you're just going to line up and show man.
We were watching the tape of Jordan Love against the Cardinals.
Yep.
And he could see and recognize the blitz. They sent everybody, the safeties, a corner, and all he did was just create space to just get the ball off. Yeah. and hit Dobbs for a big touchdown. So I think certain teams, they can do that, and maybe that might be what they've been doing. Maybe they're saying, we're going to do it against Trevor. We're going to do it against Caleb as a rookie. We're going to do it against Drake May. I don't know. Did they pressure Josh a lot? Feels like. Eh.
Well, I'm just trying to remember if they did it with four, if they did it.
But in that game, they got to feel very comfortable with their corners being able to help, to hold down those receivers.
You could do whatever you wanted against Josh because his receivers, hell, his best receiver wasn't even there. Yeah. It's just like right now, one of the stats that came from this last game that there's several stats that the Texans have that are crazy, man. It's unbelievable on both sides of the ball where they've been really, really good and kind of the combination of some different stats. But the Texans' defense is number one right now in completion percentage allowed. They were allowing 50%, which was like 7% points better than anybody else in the league. That was before the New England game. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what Drake May's completion percentage ended up being. I think it took a little bit of a hit. I think the Texans' overall completion percentage took a little bit of a hit, but they're still number one in the league.
Yeah.
So does that lead you to believe that they continue to do this and this is going to be their identity? I don't know. We'll see.
D'Amico, as I've said, is one of the top five defensive minds currently in the NFL right now, and maybe even higher than top five. And, Clint, I think he's smart enough to know you can't just keep doing this against certain guys.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so, yeah. I would think it would change, yes.
I think it just – for me, I'll be shocked if they're just blitzing.
Yeah.
If they're just blitzing like that, if they're sending pressure like that.
Yeah, I don't care what they do. I just like the way that they've just recklessly shown it to the quarterback of, hey, here's what we're fixing to do. Just make your decision. Figure out where – it's wild, man.
Yeah, with LaFleur and And their weapons and that quarterback, I don't think they'll do that. All right, coming up, a release happened in the NFL in a position that some believe is a position that the Texans may need to improve upon. We'll talk about that and kind of the bigger discussion. What is it that the Texans – we're seeing moves being made. The deadline is coming up in early November. What moves, if there are any, should the Texans make? We'll discuss that coming up next.